Really good to be with you today. We appreciate the attendance of everyone. We got visitors with us, and we want you to know that you are always welcome. If anything is said or done that you got a question about, we'd be glad to answer those questions for you. And really glad that everyone's here. This morning I decided to do a lesson on who is a true Christian. You know, we live in a world today that is, well, my next birthday I'll be 80 years old. And if you told me when I was a teenager to see the things going on in the world today, I would have never believed it. I think about my daddy and mama. They've both been dead over 50 years. Now, they wouldn't believe what's going on in the world today either. And it's gotten to the point that even in Christianity, everything and that you can see and dream of claims to be a Christian many times. We live in a world where that term is used so loosely. We think about the baseball star with the liquor spraying with the beer in his hand. He claims to be a Christian. The movie star that's got so little clothes on, scantily dressed, that it leaves very little to the imagination, claims to be a Christian also. And, you know, it kind of blows my mind. Turn that on. I forgot about it. But when you really think about this world we live in, Jesus Christ hadn't changed. And his will for man has not changed. In Hebrews 13:8, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we read the principles that are listed in Scripture, it's not changed for us. And we have to look into that word to see and to understand what God would have us to be. We got singers that use all kind of filthy lyrics in their songs that they claim to be a Christian. I run across a man a few years ago, carried a Bible around with him all the time. Claimed to be a Christian. Come to find out when I learned a little bit more about him that he was living with a woman that was not married to. And I talked with him some about that. And I pointed out things like 1 Corinthians 6 and things about marriage and that marriage is honorable and all, but the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. He was surprised to see that in the book that he's carrying around with him. These people carry a book around many times and fail to carry a book around, the Bible, but they're so loose. So what is a true Christian? And of course we could go into the Lord's church and when it was established and what we have to do to obey the gospel of Christ and be added to the Lord's church. But let's think about what the Bible talks about. In 1 John, the first chapter, Brother Mark read that for us a little bit ago. I'm going to read it again. 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7. And it says that if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. And we as God's children cannot be walking in darkness and claim to be a Christian. We have to walk in the light as he is in the light. And people who claim fellowship with God and walk in darkness are liars. That's what he says in verse 6, that are liars and do not the truth. And the world is full of it. Everywhere you go, it's all around us. Many people walk in sin and darkness are people that don't know a better way of life. I used to walk in darkness myself. And we've all been there and done that. We all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Matthew 1:21 said he came to save us from our sins. Without Jesus, we would have no hope. But he came into the world to show us a better way. You know, we understand what it means to walk in darkness. If we walk into a dark room, we walk in and we trip over the sofa because we can't see it. We stub our toe on the coffee table because we're in darkness, we don't see it. We trip over things. We understand what that means to bump our heads and stub our toes because we're in darkness. But when you think about spiritual darkness, we're talking about something very similar. Spiritual darkness is the same way. And people do foolish things just like people do in a dark room. And many times it's because they don't know any better. I don't know whether that young man changed his way of life that was living with that woman and toting a Bible with him around, but he should have when he saw the light. When it was pointed out to him, he was surprised. I don't know where he ever repented of it or not. The Gentiles, they didn't know any better until they were taught. They were used to serving idols and doing the things. Look at Acts 26 and verse 17. Acts 26 and verse 17. And it says here, deliver indeed from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, talking about Paul, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is Jesus doing the talking. To open their eyes. And we all have to have our eyes open to what the truth is. Jesus talked about the truth. He said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They didn't know a better way. They didn't know that drunkenness was wrong. Look at the people today that don't realize that drunkenness is wrong. Look at the drunk on the Andy Griffin Show or the drunks on the old couch. They all things are making fun of, but the reality is they are in sin, and if they die in drunkenness, they're going to hell. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 11 tells us about a group of people that shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And drunkenness is one of those things. They didn't know that drinking parties was wrong. Many people don't understand that today. They don't know that fornication and adultery is wrong. Look at the people today that just shack up. They think it's okay. They got babies coming and never been married. It was a disgrace when I was younger. What changed? Our society changes over and over. It gets worse and worse and worse every day. I remember back when I was a teenager in school and the Beatles come over to America because they had long hair. It was a disgrace. You didn't see boys with long hair. And I remember one guy, his name was James. I won't mention his last name, but went to Baron Kevin. He was one of the first guys that had long hair. Oh, the younger girls, they squealed over him and they went crazy over it and stuff. And pretty soon, look what you end up with. But if they thought the Beatles was bad, then the Rolling Stones comes along, made them look like saints. And then groups like KISS comes along and makes them look good. And look at our society. But what is a true Christian? Does our mode of life supposed to change with society? We're not to love the world, neither things of the world. 1 John 2:15. He talks about that. For all that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, is of the world. It's not of God. If we are true Christians, we live by a different standard. The Gentiles, they didn't know that idolatry was wrong. And many of that stuff goes on today. Many of the Gentiles, they was in the dark about their sin until Paul and other gospel preachers pointed out that this is sin. Well, what is sin? Sin is a transgression of God's law. 1 John 3 verse 4 tells us that. What God has set the standard, and we are supposed to follow the standard. Many of the Jews, they didn't know what was right from wrong. Look at Romans 2:17. Romans 2 and verse 17. And he says here, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest into law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself are a guide to the blind, and a light to them that are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has a form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? That thou preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? You see, they were teaching something, but they were doing the very things that they were not supposed to be doing. Who is a true Christian? Look at 1 Timothy 1, verse 13. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13. Who was before? This is Paul talking about himself as he writes to Timothy. He said, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul actually thought he was doing the right thing when he was persecuting Christians. He stood by and held the garments of the ones that stoned Stephen back in Acts 7. Gave his approval. And he talks about a numerous places where he persecuted Christians. The Galatian letter talks about it. But they needed to be enlightened to show what the gospel really teaches. The preaching of God's word enlightens people. Let's go to Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, we have a number of passages that points out the importance of what the Bible teaches. Look at Psalms 119 in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. We take heed unto the word. A young man. Look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, when we hear the word, we need to hide that in our heart. We may not know where to go to put our finger on it in the scriptures at the time, but it needs to be in our heart that we know that that's what the word of God says. And then when we recognize that something is against God's will, don't get involved in that. Look at verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God's law instructs us. Look at verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselor. Verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so I shall talk of thy wondrous works. Look at verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. You know, we get our hope from the Word of God. We get our hope that something is better than this life. That Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us in John 14. That we got to hang in there and not give up. And live for the Lord because we got great and precious promises. Look at verse 98. Thou through thy commandment hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. The things that are in God's word is above all of the wisdom of men. In fact, in the Corinthian letter, he says that the wisdom of men is foolishness with God. If you want to get wise, get into God's word. God instructs us how to live, things to do, and things not to do. Look at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We have to be enlightened by God's word. God's word has always enlightened his people. Let's go to 2 Peter 1:19. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. God's word enlightens us in every area of our life. Think about 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable unto doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. And verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God gives us everything that we need in his word. There is not anything like in that God has not provided for us in the way that we conduct our lives. But we have to be enlightened. And when we choose not to attend the assemblies, not to attend Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible classes, everything that we need to do, we are missing out on something that will enlighten us and help us. As I heard Brother Brent say a while back, of a person back, way back, that had a problem. He said if they'd have been in the Bible class, we studied that very thing. The very thing that you miss in a Bible class might be the very thing that helps you to overcome that problem. And even at that, you're not getting enough. You need to be doing your personal study. Your study at home. You're reading through scriptures because it enlightens us. That's what a true Christian does. He walks in the light as God is in the light. The Jews, they were enlightened by the preaching of God's word. We studied this morning in Acts 18, talking about Apollos. Here was a good man. He was an eloquent man. He was mighty in the scriptures, but he only knew the baptism of John. But when Aquila and Priscilla heard, they took him unto themselves and expounded to him more perfectly the way of God. They knew something about that he didn't know. And he was a good, honest man, apparently, because he took heed to what they said. We learn through study, through Bible classes, through all of the things that we did. The Jews were enlightened by the preaching of the gospel on the day of Pentecost. Let's go to Acts 2. We see some very important things. We remember that Acts 2 is the beginning of the Lord's church. That's where it was started at. The world don't understand that. I used to ask people that worked years ago, I said, you know when the church started? They don't have a clue what you're talking about. I'm not talking about when this denomination or that did not. I'm talking about the Lord's church that he purchased with his own blood, that he is the head of, that he said, I will build my church. He has only one. Men have started all kinds of various denominations. But these Jews had to be enlightened. Look at Acts 2 and verse 22. And it says here, as Peter preached to them, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. That's something they needed to know. They had crucified the Son of God. They needed to be enlightened about that. He brought it to their attention. Look at verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. They needed to hear that. They had to come to the realization and be enlightened that he was Lord. He was the Christ. Look at verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. They had to be enlightened about that. And of course, verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I tell people, that's the most important question in the world right there. There's a lot of important things that goes on, but this is the most important. What shall you do to be saved? And the world is not going to tell you this, but Peter, through inspiration of God, he revealed that in verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That promise of salvation through Jesus. Without him, it's not possible. But people today will argue, you mean baptism's got it? That's what it said. I didn't make that up. I read it. It's what Scripture says. The Jews at Pentecost, they were enlightened. And 3,000, about 3,000 souls decided to turn to the Lord and to walk in light from that day forward. Notice verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. He mentioned some of the worship acts that they did that we have observed this morning. Continue steadfastly. Almost 2,000 years later, and we're still following that same rule that they did in the New Testament. the Gentiles, they had to be enlightened by the preaching of the gospel too. There's no other way to be enlightened except through the gospel. Look at Acts 19 and verse 8. Acts 19 and verse 8. And they went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way, before the multitude he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that it dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. The Gentiles had to be preached to. It first of all began with Cornelius in Acts 10 and 11 for the first time. God's word was to be for all through Jesus. Many people, Jews and Greeks, were enlightened that Christ was the only way and that they had to get away from the false gods that they were serving. You know, Paul makes a distinction between the world and Christians. Look at 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We know the problem that goes on with the church at Corinth. They had many problems. But in verse 9, notice he says, "Here I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with covetous, or extortioners, or idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world." You know, if you can't associate with no fornicators, you'd have to leave the world. This world is full of them. I worked with a whole bunch through the years. And you go out today and you're going to be around them. Paul makes a distinction between the world and the church. The church is to be kept pure. The church is people that have been enlightened. They should know better. Notice verse 11, he said, "But now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or a covetous, or an idolatrous, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat." The church is to be kept pure. Paul makes that distinction. It's a serious thing when enlightened people choose to leave the light and to go back into darkness. It's serious. And it happens. "There remaineth no more sacrifice for sin." Notice in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter and verse 26. Hebrews 10 and verse 26. And notice what the Hebrew writer said here. "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under 2 or 3 witnesses." They stoned those people when they sinned. They were stoned on the spot. People that caught in adultery, people that broke the Sabbath day. You can go back to Numbers 15 and read about that. The Lord said, "The man shall surely die." They took him outside the camp and stoned him, and he died before the face of the Lord. He mentions the ones that died under Moses' law, under 2 or 3 witnesses. But notice in verse 29, he said, "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who have trodden under the foot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace?" You turn your back upon the Lord, He said it's even going to be more severe than that. But yet, it happens. And the people that have tasted that word and then choose to turn away from it, what can you do to bring them back? Look at Hebrews 6 and verse 4. Hebrews 6 and verse 4, he says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." What do you do with people once they are been enlightened and then they choose to quit walking in the light and go back into darkness? What you going to tell them? You going to tell them the gospel over again? You going to tell them that Jesus died and shed his blood for you again? But yet people, they choose to walk in darkness. And that's a sad thing. That's not saying it's impossible for them to change their mind, their heart, and come back. But what you going to tell them? You remember Paul talked about Demas hath forsaken me for the love of this present world. 1 John 2:15, he says, "To love not the world, neither the things that's in the world. Lust of the eyes, lust of flesh, pride of life." Same thing that got Eve in the very beginning and Adam. She saw that the food was good. It was pleasant to the eyes, and it was going to make one wise. And she ate of it. She sinned against God. And we can turn back into the world today. But that's why once we've been enlightened, we need to make up our mind to live for God and do all we can do. John speaks of walking in the light. It is a continual process that we do. Look at 1 John 2 and verse 3. 1 John 2 and verse 3. "And hereby we know that we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." You notice he says that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked." Other scripture says that we should walk in his steps, in the steps of Jesus. We follow him. Notice 1 John 2 and verse 15. Well, we just talked about that passage. I won't go back through that again. Love not the world. Let's go to 1 John 3 and verse 3. "And every man that hath this hope in himself purify himself even as he is pure." 1 John 3, 6 through 9. "Whosoever abideth him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, for he cannot sin because he is born of God." That don't mean it's impossible for us to sin. It means that we cannot sin. We can't do that. It's like a little child fixing to stick a bobby pin into an outlet in the wall. And you say, "You can't do that." Well, he could physically do that. But they tell him, "You can't do that." We can't walk in sin and expect God to be liking unto us. It's just so much stuff that goes on in the world today that Christianity is thought to be anything and everything. Whether a Christian obeys or disobeys God demonstrates whether he's a Christian or not. I've been around people all my life that claim to be Christians in a denomination. You listen to their foul language. I worked in the fire department with the people that talked about they were Christians, even deacons in denominational churches. Had no problem with you throwing out profanity, telling dirty jokes, doing things or going out and getting drunk as long as they were at church on Sunday morning. These people are deceiving themselves. I've even heard of people that are taught once saved, always saved, say that they couldn't tell enough lies to lose their soul. Can you imagine there's people like that that think they are Christians? When the Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. They need to be enlightened. They need to get out of the darkness that they're in. The people that hit the casinos and they gamble and they do things, all of that. They refuse to accept that baptism is part of remission of sins, and yet they claim to love Jesus. They need to be enlightened. There are many people that are supposed to be members of the Lord's church who claim to be real Christians. They might be here or somewhere else on Sunday morning, but they go on the job and the rest of the week around their friends to live like the world. God sees through that. It don't matter where we go. We're supposed to walk in the light as He is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. A real Christian confesses sin when he's wrong. We have to be humble. Humility is taught throughout the Bible. Over and over and over. And whenever we realize that we're wrong, we have to admit that. And repent of that. And when a brother comes to us and tells us something, we need to take heed to that and be humble enough to be as a Christian. It's important because every one of us fails. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. The church is not perfect because it's made up of people. But we are in the body of Christ so that we might learn, be enlightened with His Word, and walk in the light. There's a lot more that could be said. A lot of times people, whenever they're confronted with sin, they blame the preacher, they blame somebody else, they blame this one or that or the other. But we need to be humble. And reason together and try to grow. That's why the Lord put us in a body. We're members one of another. And we're supposed to love one another, serve one another, do the best, pray for one another, forgive one another. He talked about if you bite and devour, be careful that you're not consumed of yourself. So what is a true Christian? Somebody that's been enlightened is somebody that walks in truth, does their very best, and confesses sin whenever they realize that they have committed sin. If it's private, you do that to God. If it's public, humble yourself to do that before. If you're here today and you haven't obeyed the gospel, the invitation is always open at any time of day or night to come to the Lord. You have to believe in Jesus.
as to be the Son of God, be willing to repent of your sins, confess His name before men, and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's what Scripture teaches. And have to be faithful until death. These are the qualifications that we have to walk in the light. So if you're here today and have obeyed the gospel, the invitation is open as you can come as the other stand and sing.